From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 16th day of October, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostert. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. It's Fund Drive Day here for Illinois Public Media, and it's your opportunity to help support this agricultural program. If it makes a difference to you in the way you market, please give us a call and maybe pledge at the $100 level. 217-244-9455 is the number to call, or you can do it online at willpledge.org. Either way, make sure that we know which radio station you're listening to and that you're supporting agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media. The number again, 217-244-9455. This program, of course, is a production of IPM at the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's a Friday afternoon Fund Drive Day here for Illinois Public Media, your opportunity to get in on the action and support agricultural programming. This program in particular, the Closing Market Report that you're listening to right now, give us a call at 217-244-9455. If you're listening to a radio station out of Watseka or Clinton or Kewaunee or Taylorville, please give us a call. Let us know what radio station you're listening to, or if you're listening to our flagship station in Urbana-Champaign, the public station on campus here at the U of I. Give us a call, too, 217-244-9455. Just make sure you tell them the station's call letters and that you're listening to ag programming. We hope that you give at the $100 level. Here's the way the numbers finished up on a Friday afternoon in Chicago. December contract in the wheat pit at $4.98¾, down 6¼. The March 6 cents lower at $5.17¾. In May, $5.36½ lower. December corn at $3.72, down a penny. The March at $3.83¾, down 1¼. And May at $3.92½, down a penny on the day. July futures $4.50, down 3/4. September at $4.06, down 1 cent. November beans at $9.77½, 5½ lower. The Jans at $9.82, down 5¾. July at $9.82¼, down 5¼. Bean meal finished the December contract at $2.94.70, down $1.50. October live cattle at $84.10 were 30 higher, and the December lean hogs at $54.10 were down 37½ cents today. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. November crude oil futures, $78.53, up 95 cents. November ethanol, $1.84¾, down 0.8 cents. Natural gas at $4.77¼, 29½ cents higher for the natural gas. And the RBOB gasoline at $1.97¼, 3¼ cents higher. Propane futures, 99 cents, up 0.3. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 9,996. Just about 66 points lower. The U.S. dollar at 75.6, up 0.12 on the afternoon. Dave Dickey, the director of ag programming here at Illinois Public Media, is in the studio to bring us up to date on where we are on our challenges on this afternoon and how you can get in on funding this program. 217-244-9455 is the number to call, Dave. It's easy and quick and simple to do. And you can do American Express and Visa, MasterCard, Discover, pay by check. Just pledge if you'd like. Oh, and online if you happen to be listening at willpledge.org, willpledge.org.
Join Jane White and David White as the next people to pledge at 217-244-9455. They just pledged moments ago. Took advantage of that Joy of Pickling book. I think that's at the $80 level, but Todd and I like the $100 level. We think that's a grand level in support of agriculture. If you can do a little bit more at the $175 level, we have that Hightower Trading Guide. It's pretty exclusive. Don't have a lot of those left. So if you were thinking about taking advantage of that, getting one of those, now would be a great time to grab one at 217-244-9455. Just 34 calls to go to meet the $1,000 challenge from AgriVisor and Global Commodity Analytics and Bates Commodities, Todd, as well as AgriGold Hybrids.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. If you haven't dialed this number yet, 217-244-9455 is the number to dial with your pledge of financial support for the programming that brings you analysts each and every day, not only the commodity markets, but the weather as well and the cash grain markets. It's important to your back pocket. We hope it is. And that you'll pledge your financial support to this radio station and the Closing Mark Report. The number to call, 217-244-9455. On the line with us today, Mike Zuzulo, who's with Global Commodity Analytics up in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks
for
being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Hey, well, you're here each and every Friday. First of all, thank you for doing that. I know that it's important to you and it's important to us and to our listeners. And that you provide some really important information for them today. They're probably going to wonder why it is that the second day in a row we have red in the commodity markets from Chicago. 5 cents lower in the no beans, December corn down a penny, led off by the wheat futures, which were down 7.25 in the harvest month for next year.
Yeah, we had a continuation of yesterday's break, Todd. It seemed like to me that most of it was pretty well contained. I think the bulls had problems with the upcoming opening in terms of the harvest window. We also had a little bit more of a mixed market in the outside markets. We had the energies up sharply, but the dollar was also up, and the crude oil was being offset by that, and I think also the stock market was giving back some gains a little bit, and the gold and silver seemed like, the metals as a whole seemed like they just were a little bit heavy today. So the bulls were kind of contained by that in the grain pits. We kind of followed the technicals a little bit more again today and kept the bulls contained. But I think on this, by the same token, my expectations were for the most part met with the idea that the bears didn't really have a lot of oomph to them either, because we do have Monday's harvest progress numbers coming out. And everybody I talked to, I just got off the phone with one of my good contacts at Bloomberg News, and we were talking about the Western Corn Belt versus Central and Eastern Corn Belt harvest progress. And I don't think anybody's really, that I've talked to anyway, is any really looking at much of any harvest progress except in maybe Nebraska and Iowa and some of those states west and west of the Mississippi. But states like Minnesota and the Dakotas, who have just had snows and have had very cold temperatures and are looking at another burst of cold air coming in later this weekend, I think that all culminated and combined into the idea that, well, if I'm a negative bear, maybe I should wait till this weekend to see if the harvest does start up again in some parts of the Corn Belt, and maybe the weather models will dry out even more, and instead of only having 3 or 4 days of open harvest window, maybe I'll get lucky and have 5, 6, 7. I can always come back in and sell it then. So I think the only negative thing that I saw today was that the December wheat did come in and close back below $5. That's certainly something we want to watch. I think that may be, though, because we had a nice correction in the wheat corn spread, which had, around a 20 or 25 cent run this week in terms of wheat gaining on corn. So a little bit of profit taking there today. Maybe that's all it was, and that's why we closed back below $5. But something to watch at December at $5.
Are you a negative bear at this point?
No. You know, I tell you, it seems like to me I'm more nervous about the outside markets because of the strong run they've had on what I think are pretty flimsy fundamentals, especially with the idea as the week has progressed that we are going to get a health care bill that may, again, include a public option. And whether you agree with that or disagree with that, it does add more debt to the payload, and I think that adds more risk to the downside for the dollar. And at some point when the dollar goes too far down and breaks through this 75 level, it doesn't have much support until you get down around 72.50, 72.75. I think that would actually be negative to the market, and I could actually see the dollar lead the stocks and lead the crude oil lower and maybe the gold stay up. So I'm actually, for this time period, the next 5 to 10 days, I'm obviously watching weather, but I'm a little bit more nervous about the outside markets finding a week and where we have profit-taking by the longs and that hurting the grains more than I am the micro fundamentals.
Okay, well, let me ask a different sort of question. There's been some general wisdom that suggests and for lack of a better term, I guess, a marketing gap or just a pipeline gap until the harvest really starts to come in, and that producers of corn in particular would need to make sales, cash sales, in that gap before the rest of the crop would come to roost. Is that, and while you're sort of in a different boat on that one, is it relatively the same kind of feel to it?
I think the difference this year is how wet the corn is, and I had a really good conversation with the guys in Chicago today, because I've been using one of my contacts in the Dow Jones Newswire's cash side, and also the people at EFG. I've been using them as kind of my my gauge to how nervous the commercials are getting, how bad the pipeline is right now in terms of stocks not available. And I think the big stumbling block we come upon is how wet this corn is, that producers know they got to get out of the field. They also know that it's probably not going to dry down too much more, and yet they have these huge drying charges looming if they combine 25-24% moisture corn. And so there is going to be, I think, a real strong desire by the producer, by the supply side, to not bring corn to market, if especially they can put air on it and work it down even a couple points. But they have to keep combining if the weather permits. And so I do think there's a pipeline issue. I still think that the end users are going to be caught short if we don't get 4 or 5 or 6 days of an open window here in the harvest between now and next week. I think they're going to, the end users are going to start to get a little bit more nervous and get a little bit more needy for corn. So I'm kind of on the camp in the mindset of the next 10 days that we will have more pressure from the outside markets and actually have more support from the end users in the commercials.
All right. And are you suggesting producers do anything about that? I'm taking it the answer is no, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to continue on the path that we've continued all fall, that in late summer. Work on the higher levels on overbought conditions. Work on the puts. Work on the combine cash sales. Work on finishing up some 08 sales. Do your cash flow selling that you have to do, but be very, very slow to sell any bushels that you can store, because, I think that basis needs to improve and tighten. I guess it goes back to what Dave and I talked about this morning, and I'd like to reiterate, if we're not 60% harvested as a nation in corn and beans by Halloween, I think the trade's going to have to start looking at maybe a sub-200 million bushel bean carryover and a sub-1.5 billion bushel corn carryover just on harvest losses. And I think that's probably why the beans have a better fundamental look to them, Todd, than the corn does right now, because the Delta probably has caused even more damages than what the USDA told us in the October report as far as field losses, harvest losses in the Delta states for the soybeans. And I see that continuing here in the Midwest if we can't get a good string of harvest days put together in the next 10 or 15 days.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd. Good luck with the fund drive.
Hey, you too. In terms of good luck, I guess, with your marketing, thanks much, all the things that you do. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics out of Lafayette, Indiana. We are in the midst of a fund drive here for this program, the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. About half of the money that goes to produce programs like this come from you, the listener, and it's pretty important whether you're listening on our public radio station or on one of our commercial affiliates that you call in your financial support today. The number to call is 217-244-9455. The Director of Ag Programming, Dave Dickey, is in studio with a little update on some of the information that's important to us today. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Todd. We're counting it down, Todd. 3 more calls in during that interview, that wonderful interview you did with Mike Zuzulo. We want to thank Philip and Laura Orr, as well as Betty Smeltzer. That takes us to 31 calls to go to meet the $1,000 challenge that's being put on by AgriGold Hybrids, Bates Commodities, Farm Credit Services, and Global Commodity Analytics. I think we can get that number well under 30 by the end of the closing market report at 217-244-9455. You know, at the $80 level, which is a popular level this hour, Todd, a lot of people picking up on that joy of pickling. interesting book that Celeste had during the afternoon magazine show, the interview with that particular author, a book about pickling at the $80 level. You can have that with your call at 217-244-9455. Todd and I like the $100 level, though. We think that's a fair amount to in support of agriculture, and we hope that you pledge there perhaps today at 217-244-9455.
Yeah, that's right. The number to call, 217-244-9455. Pledge your financial support to the Closing Mark Report and Ag Programming, whether you're listening on the radio, online, or even if you dial in our other phone number and listen to us there. All those things are important to you. We hope they're important enough for you to pledge your financial support. Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Please do visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post this program, Commodity Week, other agricultural programming for you to listen to anytime you'd like. It's all at willag.org. Up next, just a small portion of a very long interview I did with Emerson Knafziger, agronomist at the University of Illinois. We talked a bit about this late harvest and what it means.
Diplodia gets in at the time of pollination. These things actually sneak in with down the silk, apparently, or at least that's how they gain entry. Under normal conditions, they don't develop that much. The cool temperatures we've had this fall probably have really helped to keep disease development suppressed somewhat. Certainly different diseases react differently to temperature, but almost none of them are happier and thriving at 40 degrees more than they would be at 50 or 60 degrees. So I think that's probably been a little bit positive. At the same time, we have had lots of rainfall, of course. The ears are still tilted up in a lot of fields, and they're catching, they're funneling this down to the base. And so, but the biggest concern we would have is if it would be warm and wet, and cool and wet is not as bad as warm and wet. Warm and dry is best, and we'd certainly like to get some of that. So I don't think there's been a serious amount of ongoing right development of damage over the last 3 weeks.
So once the ear drops down, is there any concern with current hybrids, and I have no idea, about just simple ear drop, that it'll drop off?
Well, ear drop is always somewhat of a concern, but normally if it gets to this point in the season, it's probably not going to drop. We've had some hybrids in the past that suffered some severe ear drop, but that even that is sporadic. The breeders really try hard to keep a hybrid from having that problem. There's almost nothing the farmer hates more than to be driving through a good field of corn and seeing bunches of ears
yellow
that
on
are
the
on the ground.
On the ground, yeah.
And this is just it's something that we don't see very often. I can remember maybe 10 years ago, a particular hybrid in a particular stress year had some ear drop. But it's not a very common thing now. And the shank strength is, of course, what keeps it from dropping, and we think that's probably pretty good. Some of these that died early, late-planted corn in northern Illinois that got frosted, that might be a little bit of a concern there if the shank wasn't quite developed as much as it could have been. But I don't expect big outbreaks of this. The crop has come to this point, still in most fields standing pretty well, except where the tornado was, and ears still attached pretty well. A lot of really tall corn, though, and some really high ear placement this year, which I think just goes back to the late planting and the temperatures it had after that.
Any concerns on the soybean side? And I'm thinking mostly of those that have been frozen or frosted for at this point, and they're not going to be able to move very fast in terms of number of work days or work hours in a day. But I don't know, does that mean once that plant has come to complete maturity, whether it's because of freeze or just because it did, and we get a freeze on it, is the pod more likely to open up? Do the beans swell that and chatter and those sorts of things?
Well, beans are a lot more open to the atmosphere than corn is, and so they'll swell when it gets damp for a few days, and then they'll shrink back down. It doesn't do wonders for quality. It's good that it's been cool, which probably keeps disease entry down a little bit. We also have had some concerns about the possibility of shattering, but shattering in soybeans usually takes place weeks after they're mature. Some of our fields have been mature for weeks. It also tends to be much more severe when we get some really fast drying conditions, so a breeze and low humidity and sunshine. We just haven't had very much of that. So today I would say the soybean crop's pretty safe. We expect that it's going to take first priority for a lot of people. They're going to be in corn as long as soybeans aren't ready. And when soybeans are ready and the fields are ready to be driven in, or maybe even before they're not quite ready to be driven in, I expect people to hit soybeans pretty hard. There's more concern that soybeans are going to be left in the field or deteriorate. Again, most people don't have a lot of experience with that. We haven't come to the middle of October with 10% of our soybean crop harvested, at least in my memory. So there's going to be some concern about that, but I'm fairly optimistic that soybeans can be taken out. Guys can move really fast with these combines, and they've certainly shown willingness before to cut tracks when they're harvesting soybeans, so I expect that's going to happen again.
That's University of Illinois agronomist Emerson Nafziger. It's about 6 minutes of, well, something like 25 to 27 minutes of an interview. We'll try to stick that into our weekend newsletter so that you can listen to it in its entirety. He takes up a great deal about shrinkage and moisture and corn and how it's figured and all those sorts of things. Probably something you want to hear him do that. You can do that on our website by subscribing to the newsletter that Dave Dickey writes. It's over on the right-hand side at willag.org. Speaking of Dave, he's got a quick update of another number that you'd be interested in, 217-244-9455. It's a number you can call to pledge your financial support for the closing market report. Dave, what's the update very quickly?
31 to calls to go for meeting the $1,000 agribusiness challenge from AgriGold Hybrids, Bates Commodities, Farm Credit Services, and Global Commodity Analytics. I'm sure we can get that under 31 in just a moment or two with your call at 217-244-9455. Todd, yesterday we took in 23 calls. Today we're at 21. I'd want to do that one better today.
All right, one better. So if you haven't dialed in yet, do it now. If you've never called in with your pledge of financial support, that would be even better. 217-244-9455. We've got a minute and a half to talk about cash grain. And on the line with us, Bruce Bostert. He's at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. Hi, Bruce.
Hi there.
Anybody harvesting today?
A little bit of corn. It's going to be quite a while before we can get in and get some beans. I think we'll see some corn coming out. It's leaving ruts. It's wet. But we had guys combining with the windshield wipers running yesterday. So
I bet you did. What's the moisture content?
On the corn, 24 to 30. Beans, we haven't taken beans for a couple days. The last day we did, I would like to see some beans below 15% moisture.
Yeah, you still got the quick ships and the cut on the drying and all that kind of stuff going on?
The cut on the dryings are dying off as we're getting a little bit more corn in here. We were never in a position where we had to load a train, so I didn't actually have that.
Okay.
The quick ship beans is dying out right now, but the basis for the straight October-November has come up enough that it's not really noticeable.
And then what are your bids for the day?
We are at 352 on nearby corn and 976 on soybeans.
Thanks so much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostert is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. He joins us on a Friday afternoon here on the Closing Mark Report. Have you called this number, 217-244-9455? I hope so. If not, dial it now with your pledge of financial support for the Closing Mark Report in Illinois Public Media.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Illinois' jobless rate increased to 10.5% in September after falling to 10% in August. The state's Department of Employment Security released new statewide figures today. The agency says the three-month unemployment average increased 0.1% to 10.3%, its highest level since December 1983. The state's unemployment rate at this time last year was 6.7%. IDES Director Maureen O'Donnell says workers should explore training and education for jobs that will be in demand once the economy improves. The U.S. jobless rate also increased in September from 9.7% in August to 9.8%, the highest level since 1983. A Republican state senator from East Central Illinois is backing the measure approved by his colleagues this week that would provide a process for recalling corrupt or incompetent governors. Dan Rutherford calls the move a baby step toward further reforms, believing it's complicated enough to keep one group or wealthy enterprise from removing a governor from office for a singular issue. The constitutional amendment would require hundreds of thousands of signatures and legislative support to put the recall question before voters. Carl Clinic has canceled more seasonal flu shot clinics because of a limited supply of the vaccine. The October 22nd and November 5th clinics planned for Monticello have both been canceled, as has one slated for October 24th in Mahomet. Clinics are still scheduled for the 19th through the 24th at the Windsor Road facility, but they'll only offer the flu mist nasal spray vaccine while supplies last. Those shots can only be taken by healthy people aged 2 to 49. Carl is still waiting to receive part of its seasonal flu vaccine shipment. Social service advocates say they want a seat at the table as Indiana revamps a privatized welfare eligibility system now that Governor Mitch Daniels has fired a leading contractor running it. Advocates told a panel of the State Budget Committee today they know their clients' needs and what problems they have faced. They say the state could benefit from their direct input. Indiana fired IBM Corp yesterday as the lead contractor on the $1.34 billion project to automate applications for food stamps, Medicaid, and other welfare benefits. Governor Daniels says the New York-based company made too little progress on fixing poor service as required by a corrective action plan ordered last spring. I'm Jeff Bossert.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason on the line with us this afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather is Jim Angel. He's the state climatologist. Hi, Jim. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Todd.
Farmers will want to know, and they know it's been wet, and they know it's been cold. They want to know what it's going to be like in the next 5 to 7 days. Do you have good news for them or not?
Well, in the short term, we do have good news. If you look at the forecast, it's going to be starting to warm up a little bit this weekend, especially after we get into Saturday and Sunday. Early next week, probably see highs even into the 60s, and the next chance of rain looks to be about Wednesday. So we're going to have several days of warmer temperatures, maybe some sunshine, and warmer conditions. So that should help out drying out some of those fields.
And what did you say the high temps might get to?
Well, we might see highs in the low to mid-60s as we move into the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday time frame. I think that probably this weekend it's still going to be fairly chilly. In fact, Saturday night it looks like we're going to see some pretty widespread frost around the Midwest. So I think whatever survived last weekend is going to get it this weekend.
It'll get it. How far south then? Do you think we'll finish off all the way to southern Illinois?
I think it could get down into southern Illinois. There may be the far south may escape some of it, but I know already there's frost advisories in parts of Indiana and Missouri especially. So it could extend that far south. I think the key thing is whether or not the clouds will clear out in time for that to occur Saturday night. If it clears off quickly enough, I think the whole area is going to be pretty cold.
All right. Thanks much. We appreciate you being with us for the day.
You're welcome.
That is Jim Angel. He's state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Friday afternoon. If you have not dialed this number yet in support of agricultural programming on this radio station in the Closing Mark Report, please do so. The number is 217-244-9455, just about half of the budget that goes to produce the Closing Mark Report. Other agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media comes from you, the listener. The number to call is 217-244-9455. Dave Dickey, Director of Ag Programming for IPM, is with us. I like IPM, Illinois Public Media, because it also stands for Integrated Pest Management. Both are great ways to, I don't know, manage costs and sorts of things. And we really try very hard here at Illinois Public Media to manage our cost. And we do rely on you, the listener, don't we, Dave Dickey?
Yes, we do. We try to be as lean and mean as we possibly can in bringing you great agricultural programming that you can use in your marketings. Big tip of the Illinois Public Media hat to Susan and Paul Schroeder, to Linda Sims, to Ryan Thorpe, and to Mary Danley, the latest contributors to Illinois Public Media Agriculture. Thank you very much. You can be the next at 217-244-945. You pick 5-5. You pick the level. At the $80 level, maybe you want to pick up the Joy of Pickling. At $120, L.L. Bean Holiday Wreath. And $175, the Hightower Trading Guide. 217-244-9455.
That's the show. Thanks for listening. I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.